The first Bible reading this morning is from the first book of Kings, chapter 19, and you can find it on page 346 of the Church Bibles. Page 346, 1 Kings 19, starting at verse 3. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. The second reading is from Matthew chapter 8, and you can find it on page 919. Of the Church Bibles, Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 17. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and that one, 'Come,' and he comes. I say to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go. Let it be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that very hour. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him. And he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. We're at the second in our series of five sermons on the five senses and looking at how the scripture works with those senses and what they have to say to us, particularly in relation to our call to go out in response to God and connect with the city in which we live and the world beyond the borders of Nottingham. So here we are with the second of our series looking at the subject of touch. And I have to acknowledge at the beginning of this that this is a delicate subject, isn't it? And go too far to say it's a bit touchy, but we need to be careful how we pay attention to this issue. I will do my best. Our modern world is somewhat confused about touch. On the one hand, there's a whole theme in the Western world of luxurious sensuality. And then again, there's a different kind of perception. We're very uncomfortable with the subject of touch. I put the word touch into Google, and what did I get? I got this. And sometimes we like to pay attention to the technology, don't we, rather than the feeling. We sometimes, as was we thought about in our prayers, thank you, Viv, our whole response sometimes to the world's pain is to try and shut out the touch of the world's pain from our lives. But it's hard to achieve. Out of the five senses, this one is the hardest. We can close our mouths and close our eyes. We can block our nose and our ears. But the sense of touch remains. We cannot stop feeling. While we live, there's something about our constant connection with the world. We touch the world and the world touches us. We know that there is something fundamentally wrong with Banana Man. You cannot be a superhero and still wear marigolds. Our response to the world needs to involve getting the gloves off, rolling our sleeves up, touching the world, and having the world touch us. We have three stories in Matthew chapter 8 which help us to understand what Jesus did with touch and how we can reach out and touch the world. Matthew chapter 8, we begin with this whole issue. I'm going to ignore that one. The Bible begins in this passage with a typically uncompromising look at touch. We begin with a story of a man with leprosy. People with skin diseases in the ancient world, and perhaps still, find themselves feared and rejected, shut out of society, considered untouchable. Back in Matthew 8, this story opens with a huge, silent crowd gathered around Jesus, hanging on his every word. Everyone listening to the great teacher. Every eye focused on him, trying to see not just what he said, but see his face, see his expression. Everybody there, you could hear a pin drop in the crowd. And suddenly there's a noisy distraction way over here on the edge of the crowd. Somebody is disrupting things. Heads turn to look. People start jumping out of the way and shouting a warning cry to others as this guy appears. like a shark through a shoal of fish. He carves his way into the center to meet Jesus. And people scatter. And suddenly this tight-knit crowd, right in the middle of it, this space opens up as people back off. And there's the two of them stood together, alone. And we watch in appalled fascination to see what's going to happen. What will Jesus do? And the intruder touches Jesus with a simple question. Are you willing to help? Are you willing? And today, the people outside of this building ask the followers of Jesus the same question. Are we willing? Are we willing to get involved, to help, to listen? And Jesus answers with equal clarity. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I'm willing. And his followers do the same. We're willing to help. Perhaps you have little money, little time. Perhaps you have little energy. But the followers of Jesus are willing to help if they can. They care. They pray. They can't always deliver. At least I can't. You? But we're willing to try. God's love inside us makes us reach out to help if we can, to reach out and touch the lives of others. This is exactly what Jesus did. Instead of fearing that he was going to catch something and backing off, he touched this untouchable person. And this is where this kind of biological miracle happens. We know now, don't we, that germs and disease and bugs and stuff will only ever spread, won't they, from the sick person to the healthy person. And here, amazingly, Jesus reverses that process. He stems the flow that should have gone from the diseased guy to infect others. And instead, there's the opposite process at work. The health of Jesus, the healing, the wholeness of Jesus spreads out. The light shines, darkness cannot overcome it. The health, the healing, the touch, the love of Jesus reaches out to welcome and heal and clean this ostracized, diseased, unacceptable person to bring a welcome. And in that touch, both become vulnerable. Jesus risked infection and loss of reputation and rejection by others. The leper risked yet more insult and disappointment and public shame. But neither defended their personal space. Instead, chose to reach out with a question, with a touch. And these are the moments of connection. We too can simply, in contact with other people, simply upgrade a casual conversation so it becomes a real meeting. Your listening, your question, your sharing can prompt the other person to connect with you, to share something that really matters for them. And so you touch a life. It doesn't always work like this, of course. Sometimes when I offer a conversation to a a conversation opener to a stranger. They unplug the headphones and answer the question and plug straight back into their private world. But at other times, I get a warmer response. So we can connect. Our second story is the story of the centurion, the soldier and his paralyzed servant. This story pushes us beyond simple physical touch to a deeper connection and identification. We know that physical touch is not always welcome, but it can be violent or unwanted. Some people endure contact without care. You experience that? Contact without care. In bad nursing homes, in dysfunctional families, in empty marriages. Other people feel secretly touch deprived, missing even that simple handshake or hug. Being touch deprived can have consequences. There's one proverb from elsewhere in the world that when you see a troubled teenager, you say, oh, I know what's going on. That child wasn't carried enough as a youngster. This second story of the soldier and his servant is a story of hands-free healing. Brilliantly sandwiched between two stories of healing through touch. It pushes us to look beyond the simple physicality of touch to the heart. This story is full of images of connection and identification of belonging. The soldier asks for help because of his attachment to his servant. His men obey the orders because of their attachment to the commanding officer. Jesus speaks about faith as an attachment to God that is stronger than nationality and heritage. The soldier, you see, may not be physically attached to his servant, but it's evident that they're connected. Their bodies are separated, but their hearts are close. Underneath the military regime of command and control, underneath the formal employer-employee relationship, underneath the power difference, hearts are close. He cares for his servant. He cares for this person in need. And so what does he do? He goes to get help from Jesus. And Jesus speaks the word of authority. And oh, imagine the homecoming. This is the kind of relationship that we're called to connect with into the world. That heart of compassion. That reaching out and connecting with people outside of these four walls. But not just with people. That level of connection with God himself as well. We cannot feel a physical touch from God, but we can get close and let him get close to us. It's deep. It's real. So powerful. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I reject his touch on my life. I put on the marigolds again. I retreat. I do that English awkwardness. And refuse that personal touch on my life. I need to break free of that and reach out and touch him. And that's why we offer prayer ministry sometimes. And sometimes in prayer ministry, I need to feel your touch. To know that you care for me and that God cares for me. But it's not always appropriate, is it? Sometimes, when you pray for me, you need to keep off so I can focus on the touch of God and not your hot little hand. We need space sometimes, don't we? And it's about respectful, appreciative, appropriate touch. Some folk inside and outside the church have been hurt by inappropriate touch, and our culture has responded sometimes by regulating it. We need to be sensitive and maintain appropriate space. But the challenge remains to get close, to reach out and touch the person's life in an acceptable way, with care, with great listening, with respect, to find out what makes that other person tick, to remember what's been happening in their life, to be willing to help if we can, to follow up with a prayer or a phone call or a question next time we see them. This is reaching others with the love of God. This is touching their life. And as well as listening, as we share, as we tell the story, to make a real connection. Sometimes our fear of sharing the good news of Jesus is fear of touch, fear of intimacy. Our story is deeply personal, isn't it? Unless you produce a sanitized version, an impersonal version. Thank you, Graham. Thank you for telling us from the heart about an experience of meeting with our Lord. It's a personal thing. God meets with us. And that's all the world needs, just to hear our truthful story of how God has touched us and can touch them. On to our third story. Peter's mother-in-law. What's interesting to me about this story is it's so brief. This is the only record of Jesus meeting Peter's mother-in-law. The same account is given in the other Gospels, but there's no other occasion, as far as we know, when they met. It's just a brief encounter. For some people, touch generates acute self-consciousness. But for others, even a brief and seemingly casual touch can bring healing. And you know that, don't you? That brief moment. Sometimes a child who you know and who trusts you, and they've fallen down, and all it takes is just picking them up, doesn't it? Just a moment. And that physical reaction kicks in of just, and it's better in just a moment, isn't it? The body kind of does its thing, and we relax, we feel at home. We feel better. And sometimes it is just that brief moment. You may have heard of the Hindu spiritual leader Amma, who's been exploring the possibility that a hug is a spiritual experience. She's hugged over 30 million people. Laura's trying to catch up. Here in this moment of Jesus reaching out to Peter's mother-in-law, there's a moment of connection, of touch. All he does is take her by the hand. Just for a moment. There's been some work that's looked at handshakes. They took a little film clip, just a few seconds of a handshake. The handshake that began a job interview. And asked other people to judge them. And you could find out who got the job by looking at the handshake. It's just a moment. Just a moment of connection. Scary, isn't it? Just a moment of touch. Such a brief encounter. And as well as the deep and enduring connection that we call to make real friends with people beyond our community, as well as those, those brief moments of connection, just passing people by. I was on the tube on Thursday, that almost impersonal of spaces. On Thursday. And between Arnos Grove and King's Cross, I met someone. And we talked about his nephew and his health and the book he was reading. And we just made a connection. That's all. Just a few moments. And passed on. That's okay. So, Jesus touched people's lives by caring deeply for them. And we can touch the world in the same way. Jesus was willing to help. Brothers and sisters, we can touch the world in the same way. Jesus connected with people, sometimes through physical touch, and sometimes by holding back. A smile was enough sometimes. Brothers and sisters, we can touch the world the same way. Jesus made real connection with people. We can touch the world in the same way. And Jesus made the most of both enduring and brief encounters. We can touch the world in the same way. Because God touches us. Let's be quiet together.